While you're standing, I want you to turn me to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. You know, every time I minister, I like to put emphasis on these two scriptures that we're going to read together because it's important for us to understand the purpose of the fivefold ministry gift. The purpose of the fivefold ministry gift is to put us in a certain position. And so we have to be willing to make adjustments. We have to be willing to make changes. We have to be willing to step up. I'm going to show you a few scriptures this morning where the Apostle Paul, in a nice way, called the churches that he was leading on the carpet. And when you read the scriptures, you never think he's calling them on the carpet, but he is calling them on the carpet to step up. So we're going to read this Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 11th verse. Let's do this. Let's start at verse 7. I'll read and you listen. But unto every one of us is given grace. Every to one of us is given what?
Grace.
According to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is but also that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. In other words, that's telling us Jesus went somewhere and displayed his abilities and his power and his gifting so that he has the right to give these gifts. Verse 10, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why? Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Anybody who's heard me minister at any time at all know I use the word assignment with the word faith. Till we all come in the unity of the assignment and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and a cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16, from whom? That's coming from somebody. Yes. Coming from Jesus. Yes. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You may be seated. This morning, I want to talk about your power because of your connection to the apostolic. You know, a lot of times we discount ourselves because maybe some of us didn't grow up in the church. Some of us may not have had a real religious background. And so because of that, and because of the pastoral model of the church, where all, it seems like all the power and all the knowing and all the whatever else goes along with it, it seemed like it was in the pulpit. Right. And every time you face a situation, every time you face a challenging moment, it seems like, based on how we were taught, that you need to come to the pulpit to get an answer. But according to Ephesians, the 4th chapter and 11th verse, we find out that's not how it works. We found out that the gifts that God gave us, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, is to put us in a position of maturity to where we can hear God for ourselves, we can see God for ourselves, and we can do what God is asking us to do for ourselves. Are you seeing this? So a lot of times Apostle taught me years ago about the concept of having an inferiority complex. Inferiority complex in the natural is when you meet somebody or you interact with somebody and you in your own mind have made yourself lower than them before they even said anything to you. You don't know what they think. You don't know where they come from. You don't know what they're dealing with. But in your mind, when you interact with them, you have already put yourself in an inferior position. That's called an inferior complex. Well, let me tell you, some of us have been taught to have an inferior complex in the supernatural. What I mean by inferior complex? Oh, that other person can hear God, but I can't. That other person can access the presence of God, but I can't. And Satan is a guru at convincing you of that. So this is why you have to allow the love of God. Just let me be careful. This is why you have to allow the love of God to surround you so that you can begin to hear his voice clearly. It is the pulpit's job to put you in a position to where God can talk to you, where God can reveal himself to you, where God can give you instructions and you have the confidence to follow them. See, so this morning I want to get rid of, thank you, Holy Spirit, if any of us in here have an inferiority complex in the supernatural, I want you to get rid of it. And when you get rid of the inferiority complex in the supernatural, the natural inferiority complex is going to be taken care of. Because what greater is he that's in me than he that's in? So if I got Jesus living on the inside of me, If I got Jesus, the one who died for my sins, the one who went to hell in my place, the one who took all my sickness and my disease, if I got him living on inside of me, I can face anybody and anything and overcome it. Go over to Romans, the 8th chapter. Praise God. See, I want to get rid of that supernatural inferiority complex because you got to know that you can contact God. Regardless of how long you've known him. If you just got born again yesterday, you contact him today. And what I love about God is God will meet you where you are. God will show up where you are. If you cry out to God, God will show up where you are. I don't care what you done last night. Matter of fact, I remember teaching one time about we were talking about communion, and I said we've been taught that if we're in sin, to go or to get away from the table. But that means you, when you're in sin, go run towards the table. We got to get rid of this inferiority complex in the supernatural. You can hear God, you can see God, and you can contact God. See, in these last days, we're not gonna have, or you're not gonna have the time to be wondering if you can hear from God, wondering if you can contact God, wondering if God is with you. You're going to have to know that God is with you. You're going to have to know you can hear the voice of God. You're going to have to know you can see God. You're going to have to know you can follow God's instructions. And let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is there to help you through it all. Thank you, Jesus. Romans, the 8th chapter. How many of y'all still reading Romans, the 8th chapter? Apostle gave us instructions, need to be reading it every day. Praise God. What I do is I listen at it and follow it in my Bible. So I can retain some stuff. I listen at it and follow it in my Bible. And then it's okay to read it in other versions. Romans, the 8th chapter. Verse 28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, we love to read that A part, but the A part can't exist without the B part. The A part of the scripture cannot exist without the B part. Now, here's the wonderful thing about God. Here's the wonderful thing about God. You can be in a situation of your own making. You can be in a situation of your own making that you don't like. Notice what I said. You can be in a situation of your own making that you don't like. But as soon as you decide to stop and say, God, I've made decisions this far. I'm not making no more decisions anymore without your input. And that scripture can become yours instantly. So you could be in a situation of your making that you don't like, and God will meet you in that situation, and all things will still work out for your good. God will meet you where you are. So we got to get rid of this inferiority complex. Like, because I've done this, God ain't gonna do this for me. That's a lie. That's a lie. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what situation you got yourself in. I don't care what it is. Whatever it may be, God will meet you where you are. He will not only meet you where you are, but he will begin to help you change the situation that you are in so it work out for your good. We got to get rid of this inferiority complex. This supernatural inferiority complex. Like, God, I've done this. Okay, God, I accept my penalty. No, don't you accept that penalty. This verse says, according to this verse, It says, all things work together for the good to them who are called according to his purpose. So that simply means that it's a matter of surrender. It's a matter of surrender. I must surrender my life to him totally. I must surrender everything to him. I must surrender my life. I must surrender all my relationships. I must surrender my job. I must surrender my business. I must surrender everything to him. And the lovely thing about it is you can instantly surrender everything to him. How can you surrender everything to him? I simply say, God, I surrender my life to you. God, I surrender my family to you. God, I surrender my job to you. God, I surrender my life. What that will do when you say you surrender, it will put you in a mold to where you can meditate better. Because if you're no longer responsible for being the origin of all your decisions, then you have time to be patient and wait on him. You have time to sit there and say, God, I'm surrendering. Tell me what you want me to do. To them who are called according to his purpose. Surrendering. Go to Galatians the second chapter. Make you laugh. I was writing my notes this morning, and I quoted Galatians 2:20, but I to myself, I was thinking 1 Corinthians 2:20, and so I wrote 1 Corinthians 2:20. I went to say that ain't what the scripture. And I erased Corinthians, but I forgot to erase the one. So in my Bible it says 1 Galatians. In my notes it say 1 Galatians. 2:20. So if you're looking for 1 Galatians, you're not going to find it. Galatians, second chapter, 20th verse. It says, this is Apostle Paul talking, and he's given us a blueprint of surrender. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh. So I love that statement. The life that I now live in the flesh. That means your present life. That means the life you live in now. That means the life that we're all existing at this moment. Not in the far by and by, not in heaven, the life you live in now. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the assignment of the Son of God. So what that means, what they're saying is, because Jesus Christ died on the cross, he has now empowered me to do what God has called me to do. So because of Jesus did on the cross, I should not have any supernatural inferiority complex. Because my identity and who I am is not based on me alone. It's based on who lives on inside of me. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21, Apostle Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So in other words, the Apostle Paul is saying, he's telling us how we can frustrate. How we can frustrate. So how do you frustrate the grace of God when you don't surrender? When you don't surrender, you frustrate the grace of God. In other words, you get in God's way. You get in God's way from bringing you to the life that he's already thought about for you. Adam and Eve got in the way. Jonah got in the way, but quickly got out of the way. For those of you who don't understand that statement, Jonah was the one that got swallowed by the whale. He got swallowed by the whale because God told him to go to Nineveh. He tried to run from God calling to Nineveh. Got on the ship. Things got crazy. They threw him overboard. God created a whale to swallow him up. Now, he stayed in the belly of the whale 3 days. Am I correct? Can you imagine staying in the belly of a whale 3 days? When you get in the belly of anything, digestive enzymes supposed to... But God created a whale without digestive enzymes. Wait a minute. This is how bad God wants to get you into his will. This is how much God wants you to get, that God will allow you to sit in a difficult situation protected. God will allow you to be in a difficult situation protected and give you an opportunity to sit and meditate and say, God, I surrender. Man, so you, once again, if you're in a difficult situation, you're protected. God is surrounding you right now. God is surrounding you and giving you an opportunity to surrender. You may be seated. Glory to God. You could be in a difficult, are you telling me right? I could be in a difficult, hold on, let me make it even better than that. You could be in a difficult situation that you've created. Yes. Didn't Jonah create his situation?
Yes.
You could be in a difficult situation that you created, and God will protect you in that difficult situation that you've created. How much do God love us? So there's no reason why everything shouldn't work out for your good. There's no reason why everything should not work out. Everything works for my good. God, the Bible talks about that God is love. See, God loves us unconditionally, but he does not love us. Watch this. He does not love us outside of his word. Not like you want to be loved. God will let you sit in your difficult situations until you decide to recognize, I got myself here. God, how do I get out? God loves unconditionally. He does not love compromisingly. I'm going to say that again. God loves unconditionally. He does not love compromisingly. So I believe God was prepared to let Jonah stay in that well until he came to his senses. But what we realize is it only took him 3 days. But I believe God would have let him stay there 5 days, 7 days. Okay, we're just going to float around this ocean until you just going to get ready to decide to do what I'm asking you to do. See, whether you know it or not, you were born for one reason and one reason only, to express heaven here on earth. That's the only reason why you were born. Matter of fact, go to the Gospel of John. I'm trying to get rid of this inferiority complex on you. It's supernatural. You think you can't hear God? If you think you can't see God? If you think you always got to run to apostle when you're in a tough situation, apostle is training us so that we can stand on our own. Go to John, the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. Watch this. Watch what he says in the Gospel of John, the first chapter. Watch this. Watch what he says. Look at verse 12. It says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now there's a colon there, because the thought is not finished. Watch what it says. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So, in other words, everybody who accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, you can bypass your natural lineage. So it doesn't matter how you got you. It doesn't matter. Your mama and daddy getting together is not the reason why you're here. That's the passageway. You were born to fulfill the will of God. People want to know what's the meaning of life? The meaning of life is to fulfill. Why do you think people be so empty and be chasing stuff and can't find what they're looking for? They know they're empty, but they're chasing and they can't find it. They're going all over the world. They're doing all sorts of things. They buy all sorts of things, and they're still empty. Because they haven't found out why they were supposed to be here. The reason you're supposed to be here is to express heaven on earth. And as long as you're not expressing heaven on earth, as long as you're not expressing God on earth, you're going to be empty. So for us who are born again, we understand that we ought to be expressing God here on the earth. So why are we going to keep making decisions that keeps us from not expressing him? We got to surrender. You got to be in a position where I can hear from God. Listen, I want to kill this false spiritual superiority too. Because you got some people who spend time with God all day, spend time with God reading and spend time with God praying, and they still don't hear what God's saying because they've created their own way they're going to serve him. Let me tell you a little secret. You know how you got some people around the body of Christ like speaking to other people's lives? Let me tell you how to tell if you either need to even entertain them. So y'all want the secret? Secret I learned a long time ago. Simplest secret. When somebody try to come speak in my life, the first thing I'm doing is I'm reading your life. That's the first thing I'm doing. I'm reading your life. Because if your life don't show that you've been hearing from God, then why is God going to use you to speak into my life? See, you got to understand that there are some people in the body of Christ that have spiritual superiority that try to take that try to influence people with inferiority. God told that woman, I think it's 1 Kings 17. He told Elijah, get to Zarephath. Notice what God said. I have commanded a widow woman to sustain you. He got to Zarephath and he saw the woman and he said, hey, give me some water. Then he said, nah, better yet, go make me a cake. Now she already knows, because she's been commanded. She already knows that she got to do something significant. The problem is she didn't have, we talked about this, but she didn't have direction. She had instructions, but then she had direction. See, what we get from apostle is direction. We get direction from apostle, but God gives us instruction. So she already knew what to do. She was already expecting because God had talked to her. What's my point? God ain't gonna let nobody speak into your life without him speaking in your life first. See, I'm trying to get rid of this spiritual inferiority complex. Don't you ever let somebody come spring up something new on you. Anytime somebody will speak in your life, it should be confirmation to what God has already told you. If my apostle is not trying to take my life over, why am I going to let you? See, you got to have confidence that you can hear from God. Stop saying something told me to do this. Stop saying that. Something told me to do that. Stop saying that. It was the Holy Spirit. Just go ahead and fess up. Something told me to do it and I didn't do it. It was the Holy Spirit told you and you didn't listen. You heard from God and you didn't listen. So, how many of y'all have been, something told me to do that. I knew I should have done that. And, no, y'all don't raise your hand in here now because, y'all got a superiority complex, I see. See, God will meet you where you are. He will meet you. Listen, God is so loving. If you are trying, God loves you so much that if you're trying to hear his voice, he will set up the way he blocks the enemy voice so his voice becomes clearer. So, according to John, the first chapter, Gospel of John, verses 12 and 13, it doesn't matter how you got here. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter your background. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have now been authorized to bypass your natural lineage. You've been authorized to bypass any iniquities that you might have to deal with from your forefathers. That has been eliminated. You're now on equal standing with Jesus Christ and him crucified. You can hear the voice of God. You can do what God is calling you to do. You can experience God. You can see God. You can be in the presence of God. You can do this. Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Galatians 3, verse 13. The person that is living on the inside of me has redeemed me from the curse of the law. He became the curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on the tree. I love verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham. Now, people don't understand, that phrase right there is really talking about the apostolic. Because if you go back and read Genesis 12, when God established the blessing of Abraham, it was established for those that would connect to Abraham. So those that would connect to Abraham, what it means to connect to Abraham? Simply means it wasn't about Abraham, it was about what Abraham was called to do. So God said, those that help you, Abraham, to prosper, God said, I am going to prosper them. So watch this. When it says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. So that might is eliminated when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. So when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, now the blessing of Abraham can come on you. But it can come on you. That ain't say it is. Do you see that? It said it can. Everything has been cleared up. Everything has been moved out of the way that can stop the blessings of Abraham from coming on you. But if you don't surrender, then you're the one is stopping the blessing of Abraham. The scripture in Psalms, David wrote, while thou limit the Holy One of Israel. My question to you is, why are you going to limit God with your inferiority supernatural complex? God wants to talk to you. God wants to speak to you. God, we get, watch this now, we get direction from apostle. But if you don't go home and spend time with God based on what apostles say, you'll never get instruction. Do you know how many backgrounds we have in here, sitting in here, watching online, watching around the world? We got different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different cultures. God has uniquely made it possible to where we can get direction and God can begin to talk to us as individuals. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. So if any of the curse that is surrounding us, now, mind you, oh, this is how wonderful God is. God will allow you as his child to be, once again, surrounded by the curse of the law, yet protected. See, there is a confidence that you must develop. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. There is a confidence that you must develop that God loves me to the point to where he's drawing me to him. God loves me so much that he's drawing me to him. God loves me so much that even if I got sickness going on in my body, he's drawing me to health. Even if I ain't got the resources, I won't. I'm surrendering. He's drawing me to his wealth. My relationships. Oh, thank you, Jesus. My relationships that are around me, might not be the best relationships. I might not have the best relationship with my children. I might not have the best relationship with my husband. I might have the best relationship with my wife. I might not have the best relationship with my siblings. But as soon as I surrender, and watch this, allow my relationship with him to be perfected, then all things are going to work out for my good. See, this Christian walk is simple. It's just that we've been stuck in this pastoral model, and we've developed, some of us have developed a supernatural inferiority complex. You know, some of y'all say, well, I can't wait to get to church on Sunday so I can get my word from God. When God wanted to talk to you on Tuesday, God was with you on Wednesday, God was with you on Thursday, God was with you on Friday, he was with you on Saturday. Why you don't let him talk to you then? Because when you come here Sunday, you're getting direction. It doesn't negate your responsibility for instruction. Is this making sense? God loves you so much that he will meet you where you are. So that's the, once again, that's the purpose of the fivefold. The fivefold is to put you in a position to where you can hear God, you can see God, and you can experience God. Every last one of us, oh, go with me to 1 Corinthians 11. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, I want you to see, because when you get, sometimes Satan will attack you and you got time to reach out to nobody. You ain't got time to be getting your best prayer partner. They might be asleep. You don't have time. You might not be able to get to apostle right away. So you got to be able to stand your ground. You got to see, once again, direction. Don't y'all take what apostle is teaching us about health for granted. You know, speaking from one generation and speaking from one generation to the generation that's before me, Satan is so tricky. Satan is so cunning. And so Satan's objective is to disconnect generations. There are some things that the generation before us needs to impart into us. But you can't impart it if you ain't here. This is not by accident that apostle, come on. This ain't by accident I received. This ain't by accident why apostles are teaching us on health. I think it's Joel, the second chapter, where it says, "Yo, young men shall dream dreams, and the old men shall see visions." Well, the dreams ain't gonna make no sense without knowing the visions. Come on, catch this. So we need each other. We need each other. We need We need you. I need the generation before me to live longer. I need them to live longer so I can learn some things. I need to live longer so I can teach some things. Do y'all understand? I'm a little bit off subject, but do y'all understand? Because I want you to understand why Apostle teaching us on health. Because there's some supernatural experiences that you've had that my generation haven't had yet. And so if we don't learn these supernatural experiences, they could be lost. So the reason why Apostle is teaching on health is so that we can all come into unity. So we all can come. Another is the unity of faith. We write back in Ephesians 4. Are you seeing this? So, you know, there's some things that'll be lost, and Satan know what he's doing. So Satan get us to eat any kind of way. Because he knows how the body works. He knows how the body works. So therefore, he knows what to do. See, what y'all realize is Satan knew that if Adam and Eve eat off the tree. See, Satan knows some things. And so he tried to attack you based on what you don't know. This is why surrendering, oh, I think this is a good, 1 John, the second chapter. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm almost finished. 1 John, the second chapter. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 1 John, the second chapter, the 27th verse. Watch this. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in. Okay, I need you to get rid of this supernatural inferiority complex. Because here, the word of God says, but the anointing that you received of him, Jesus Christ, abideth in. The anointing that abides in you came from Jesus Christ. And ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now, this particular scripture says the anointing that is in you, you needed no man to teach you anything. What does that mean? What does that actually mean? You need no man to teach you anything. It's explained in verse 20. Go to verse 20. Go to verse 20. But ye have a. The anointing that abides in you. The anointing that Jesus has abides in you. Because it abides in you, that means you are already capable of being able to hear what he can say, do what he can do. Are you seeing this? So, it puts us in a position to know that Christ, the anointing that abides in us. I want to say this right. Allows us to mature to a level that we are partakers of the anointing that's on Apostle's life. Are you seeing this? So this unction that is on the inside of us, it can teach me things. It can teach me. It can give me instructions. So if I abide in this anointing, then God, then apostle give me directions, but God gives me instructions. That means I don't need to go to apostle for every little thing. Because apostle is maturing us. So by him maturing us, me spending time with God, are you with me? Me spending time with God allows me to get these instructions. So that's why the anointing that abides in me, I don't need nobody to teach me nothing. Because everything I need to know at the time I need to know it, because I spend time with God, I'm going to know it. But you got to get rid of that inferiority, supernatural inferiority complex. God can talk to you. Mm-hmm. You can hear God. You can experience God. See, I don't want you to think. See, the Apostle Paul said in Philippians, I think it's Philippians 1 and 7, ye are partakers of his grace. You are partakers of apostles' grace. Now listen, watch this. The same way apostle, the grace that's on his life, empowers him to hear from God for us as a congregation, you have the same ability to hear from God about your life. Because you are a partaker. Because you decided to say, apostle, whatever God is calling you to do, I want to help you accomplish what God is calling you to do. Because you've made that decision, the same way apostle hears God on our behalf as a congregation, you can hear God on you, for your individual life. At the same intensity, the same level, with the same authority. Because you are a partaker. Because you have connected to the agenda of God, you have a right to get rid of any spiritual inferiority complex that you may have. You can hear God. I'm saying it over and over because I want, you can hear from God. You can experience God. You can see Jesus. You can understand what God wants to do with you. You can see it clearly. You must tell, I can see it clearly. You must call those things that be not. You might not have a clear picture now, but you say, I see it clearly. God, I'm surrendering my life. I see it clearly. God, you say I have an unction on the inside of me, and I know all things. You said your anointing abides on the inside of me. There's no situation I face I cannot find a solution to. There's no situation I face that I cannot overcome. Because greater is he that is in me. So from this day forward, I don't want you to make no excuses. You eliminate all excuses from your life. Any excuse at all. I can hear God. Listen. We got an example in the Bible. God waited on a man 3 days. He waited on a man 3 days until he was ready to hear the voice of God. 3 days. God, listen. When you say, I promise you, you sit quietly long enough with God, and God will give you the solution to every situation you in. Give you solution to every dilemma in your life. God will give you the peace of mind for everything that you face. But you got to surrender to him. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. That means he even said in Isaiah 1 and 18, come let us reason together. Reasoning with God simply means that you're going to surrender your thoughts. I'm close with this. Have I told you the real meaning of understanding? Understanding means to stand under. That means you take your thoughts and stand under the word of God. When you take that submission, that's yielding. When you take your thoughts, I don't care what your environment is feeding you on the outside. You have a right to take them thoughts and submit them to the thoughts of God. When you submit them to the thoughts of God, listen to me, when you submit them to the thoughts of God, God will then give you the solutions and the answers that you need. Yes, he will give you the solution and the answers that you're looking for. Because let me tell you something, the answers to your situation, the answers to the solution to your problem is not on the outside. They don't exist on the outside. They exist on the inside of you. When God said he gave us dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowls of the air, over every creeping thing that creeping on earth, God wasn't talking about he giving you dominion over all the earth. God was saying he was giving you dominion over your earth. That's why he said in Mark 11 and 23, you should say to, what did it say? This. Not all mountains. The mountains that are in your way. See, so what you need to do is you need to begin to spend time with God and say, God, watch this. Not only do I want your will for my life, God, I just want your will. God, I'm surrendering. God, I don't understand this. Can you explain this to me? And guess what? He will explain it to you. But the problem is we keep trying to get answers from the outside. Not yielding, not understanding the power that's on the inside of us. Worried about what other people think. Man, that's the first thing you're going to do. That's the first thing you got to do. I ain't worried about what nobody else thinks. I may be in this situation, but I ain't thinking about what you think. I'm only concerned about what God thinks. You can say what you want, but I'm going to the inside because the inside is where my answer is. Last scripture. You may be seated. Last scripture. Luke, the 8th chapter. Apostle dealt with this, I think, Wednesday. Luke, the 8th chapter. Luke, the 8th chapter. Watch this. Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which has spent, all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood snatched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronging thee and pressing thee and saying, thou who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. When the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling, falling down before him. She declared to him before all the people for what she caused she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Notice what Jesus said. He said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort, for thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Now, for those of you that don't really, you know, I like to study the word of God. Let me give you a little background on what's happening here. This woman had an issue of blood. During those days, they had rules or laws that when she had the condition she had, she couldn't come into the city. All right? She couldn't come into the city. But this woman heard about Jesus. And she ignored everything on the outside. Yes. Another version says she said within herself, if I may touch the hem of his garment, where do you think she got that idea from? The Holy Spirit. She said, you know what she was like, something is telling me. Something is telling me go touch his hem. Something is telling me go touch the bottom of his garment. Something is telling me. I don't know what it is, but something is telling me. But But here's what I want you to see about this lady. She ignored the laws. She ignored all the outside. She ignored what people thought about her. She ignored what anybody said. She said, if I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. You're going to have to forget everybody around you. You can't be worried about what people say. Listen, if you're in a situation, people are going to talk about you. They're going to talk about you. That's just human nature. People run their mouths. That's just human. So you're going to have to ignore what they're saying and go on the inside and say, God, I'm surrendering. How are we going to work this out? Are you saying, God, how are we going to work this out? Which causes you to have to meditate. That means you're going to sit quietly. Find you some time. Sit quietly. Sit quietly and say, God, I'm here for you. What do you want, God? Don't come to God because you got something. He already know you had it. He already know you were dealing with it. But God, I just want to be with you. God, I just want to be in your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hebrews, I think it's the 4th chapter. And the 16th verse. Am I right? Is that it? Some of y'all preachers here, I know where I'm going. Is that it? Is that it? I think that's it. That's it? Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of empowerment, that we may obtain. Do you know what the apostle Paul say? We can boldly come into the presence of God to obtain empowerment when we don't deserve it. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. So this scripture by itself should eliminate any spiritual inferiority complex. What it means to come boldly? It means to come, you have a right to be there. It doesn't mean that you come up there bigoted. Like I boldly walk into my parents' house. I got the cold. I got the long cold. I got to walk in there. When I walk in there, I got to walk in and say, hey, this Buck. Because they sitting there relaxed and they can recline us. Apostle got a 357 sitting next to him. And so I got to, hey, this Buck. I gotta walk in there. So I can boldly go in there, but I can't go in there bigoted. You have the same right to go into the presence of your Father. You can go boldly, but you can't come up there in yourself. You got to go up there and acknowledge, God, I'm with you, God, I'm for you, God. God, what you want to do? God, I'm yielding to you. God, but I know I have a right to be here, God. God, I have a right to hear you, God. God, I have a right to be in your presence. Yes. God, what you want with me? Yes. Was that a good illustration? Yes. So you can boldly, listen, you can boldly go into God's presence. Don't you for another thing, man, God, listen. You can come straight out of sinning and go into God's presence. And say, God, oh, God, I shouldn't have done that. God, forgive me. God, help me, empower me to where I don't do that no more. And when you do that, does he love it? He loves it because now he knows he has your heart. And God will begin to talk to you just as clear as he talked to anybody else. We must understand the purpose of the fivefold ministry gift is for us to help us recognize the power that is living on the inside of us. It's not to display power from up here. It's to get you to recognize the power that is on the inside of you. So from this day forward, I don't care how long you've been born again. I don't care what you've done. I don't care about none of that. I need you to surrender and yield to God, because God is waiting to talk to you. God has some things to say to you. God got some things to show you. God got some things to reveal to you. But you got to be open to him. You got to be ready to yield to him. You got to be ready to be say, God, I'm ready. God, I'm ready for whatever you got for me. I'm ready to do whatever you asked me to do. God, I'm ready to commit to you like I've never committed to you before. When you do that, all things will work together for your good. Bless God.